here we go, listeners. We are back after a little hiatus, mainly due to babies and young children taking over our lives, pretty much. But we're back in more ways than one. We're back on the air and we're back racing. Weekend just gone. Jack, how are we feeling?
Right now, I feel fine, actually. I had a full day off on Monday. Didn't really do a lot. Walked the dogs. Spent a bit of time with Margot and Emily. And then yesterday, I've taken up a new hobby. It's sort of like what I would call cross-training. Mm-hmm. Well, it is cross-training, don't get me wrong. Obviously, when Margot came along, I realized that more time out the house equaled just it wasn't going to happen. So, you know, trying to run long runs and short runs and tempos and then do all the other stuff that I like to do, it just wasn't happening. So I invested in a Wahoo kicker, which is like basically a fixed wheel that your bike fits onto. So you can just basically turbo train indoors. And then that then hooks up to any app, but I use Zwift. And it's quite addictive. Like, I thought, no, I'm not going to enjoy this. But actually, I'm now like finding myself like just trying to literally find events that I can race and do, because I just generally want to get the points and
ride. Tour de Zwift.
Yeah, Tour de Zwift and things like that. And the problem is, every time there's a major event going on, like we obviously had the Tour de France, which meant then they did events in Zwift, and now there's the Olympics, so obviously Tokyo, so everything's like all based around the Olympics. But it is great. I mean, I do like the fact that it gets updated weekly, and you do races, and you get put in a category of other races. And don't get me wrong, there is some top-end guys. Like, I was cycling around the other day, and I would just see Mark Cavendish cycling around. And it's really weird, surreal to think that Mark Cavendish is somewhere else in the world cycling on the same route that I'm doing, you know, flying past me, don't get me wrong. But, you know, but so, yeah, I've entered a league. I don't know anybody that knows sort of Ryan Atkins. He does the same thing. It's quite a serious third-party league. And
I think a few listeners might know Ryan Atkins.
Yeah, exactly. Well, would you believe Ryan Atkins actually leads his league? So if he was actually racing on the pro tour, he would probably be at the level of some of the pro athletes.
Which I 100% believe that.
Insane, mate. He is just insane. So I thought, right, I'm going to get me some of this action. So me and Graham and a couple of the guys that are all sort of OCR-based, we thought we'd get a little of a team together and have a go. But, oh, my God, it's just hell from, like, literally going off on the first stage. Because unlike real cycling for you guys at cycle, you can't use hills or wind or any of that. I mean, it's all there, but actually what you're doing a real race or triathlon or whatever is you tend to, a bit like Spartan racing, you tend to choose when you want to attack.
Yeah.
Whereas with Zwifting, obviously some of the guys just go straight from the off. So you're like, oh, okay, so we're going to be hitting 180 heart rate for 48 minutes, are we now? Okay, great. So you just have to hang on for dead life. So I did that yesterday.
It's pretty much just like Spartan, isn't it? Everyone's
well, 100%. Well, this is what I said to Graham. I was like, well, actually, this is actually pretty good training for OCR, because okay, you haven't got the efficiency of the running impact and muscle work, but actually, from a heart rate point of view, it is just like hanging in zone 4, zone 5 for 45 to an hour. You know, I only race sort of 30, 35, 40K. When you start getting to that sort of hour and a half, 2 hour type of tempo in, mate, I just can't hang. I'm just like dying. I've realized that there's no way my heart rate is even conditioned to doing that, let alone my legs. So my legs are normally the last thing to go. But it's interesting because obviously you talk about babies in the last few months leading up into Spartan. I generally haven't been able to run that much. I've been quite lazy. I've sort of had a COVID demotivating, but towards the end of COVID, which is strange because you'd think you'd sort of have a new lease of life towards the end of COVID, but the end of restrictions. I tended to stay quite fit and healthy throughout COVID and stayed really on track and training. And it's sort of the last couple of months since Margot's turned up, it's all gone out the bloody window. And I was a little bit panicky that I hadn't really done enough running. And I was like, and you know, it's like first race back, you're like, oh, Jesus, you know, how's Luke going to be? How's Tom Tweddle going to be? How's Scott going to be? You got these new guys coming in, you know, Mo and people like that. You're thinking, oh, my God, I'm either going to be okay and feel good, or I'm going to be, you know, massively off the pace and think, oh, my God, why did I not run harder? But fortunately for me personally, I think yourself, I actually was surprised at where I was, you know, actually considering I've done little work. And I know obviously you've been training for a triathlon and getting involved in sea swimming and cycling. And I know very well that once you start doing all those different type of disciplines,
yeah,
you can't fit all your running in. And not only that, let's be honest, running's fatiguing, you know, and if you're then doing strength-based sessions on top of that and grip sessions, you are going to be tired. So the idea of then going and getting a swimming pool for your second session of the day or a sea or getting on the bike, God forbid, and doing 100 miles, that is just so daunting. So you end up not doing it or doing something smaller or, you know. I personally think that I was quite impressed with my running. It's just funny enough, my obstacles let me down, but that's a different story for a different day. I feel good, mate. Actually, I feel refreshed and I'm so ready for the next one. It's just a shame that it's 2 months away. But on the flip side of that, I now know I've got a good, 2 months to set some back to sit. Like, I'll tell you what it's done. Spartan this weekend has given me that, oh my God, yeah, this is why I race. Do you know what I mean? Cool. It's given me that that emphasis to want to go and train. And I've had a lot of... exactly. And on top of that as well, the coaching side of things is quite interesting. Since Spartan, I've had 3 or 4 people reach out to me about coaching. God knows why, but they have. And that's sort of also given me another sort of release of like, do you know what? This is great. Yet everyone's feeling the same thing. Everyone's feeling, up for it. Everyone wants to get training hard. Everyone wants to beat their demons, how about you? How do you feel, Luke? You put in a serious pace, especially on the Sunday. You didn't do what I thought you were going to do and you went gung-ho from the start. And I was like, well, I know I can't hang that for us, so I'm just going to back off and wait for Luke to sort of slow down, which you did, but not massively.
Not enough. I think it was just so long since we've raced. It's so hard to judge where you're at after such a long time. In January, I was in such good running condition. I hit PBs in the mile, 5K. I did a really fast half marathon for myself in like March. And I was like, yes, I'm ready. And then we had the first Spartan race of the season moved. And I was like, oh, okay. And then work's got really, really busy since the restrictions have started easing. And I've just had to spend so much more time at work. And obviously, 20-month-old baby, so sleep is always a factor. I wasn't too sure. I thought, okay, I'm in fairly good running condition, but I'm not too sure where I'm at against everyone else. Same, I think most people, how I'm in a good condition, but where am I against Scott? Where am I against Jack? Where am I against Tom? It was great to finally get to race and actually like put myself against you guys and other people and just see, right, this is where I am right now. Fairly good weekend for myself. I'm pretty happy with it all.
For the listeners that don't know, Luke had a very good weekend, in fact. So let's start on the Saturday. So Saturday is obviously a super. As we had Dave Watts on here about 2 years ago, tell us that all supers would be standardized down to 10K, which we soon worked out was a load of bullshit. And
what was this, about 13, 14K?
Well, obviously I did the penalty loop, but I had 7 miles on my watch by the time I finished. So
I had 7.6.
Oh no! Did I? No, I had 7.9. Sorry, I had eight miles. 8 miles.
You had
a
bit more.
I was, which I knew was going to happen. Let's be fair. I knew it was never going to be 10K, 6 mile, which would have been nice. I probably would have been all right if it had been 10K. Super, which is a series race, which was obviously going to bring in all the most competitive races. We were a few short due to COVID. So unfortunately, Jason Brunnett couldn't take part. Jesse Betts was ill. I know Mark Dixon was ill. So there was a few names that I would expect to see that weren't there. But also we had a few people jump up from age group, which is great. And a few people did well jumping up.
We had quite a few people within, like, you're looking at like top 10 or so that have podiumed before at races. Yeah. You've got yourself, you was in there. You got Declan Trainer. He's podiumed previous year. He took a bronze at an event in Ashton Down. Gavin Hogarth won the Beast in Scotland and has podiumed at this venue 2019, along with us at the sprint he did before.
Yeah.
So you had plenty of people there that you'd think in and about kind of the top of the stand-ins.
Yeah, in the UK, I mean, quite a few of the nuclear guys as well, like Fergal came over, and especially in the girls' side of things, I think they had the same scenario, you know, like obviously now Becky Rendell's jumping in the action, which is great, I think, for her. I think she's a great racer and probably should be doing more Spartan, because I think it'll add to her type of OCR. I know she prefers, obviously, the more technical, like,
yeah,
you know,
she loves the
obstacles and nucleus, but I still think if you can do Spartan and hang with the best, then that's only going to help every other event you do. It was really good to see Helen Meekins do really well as well. She's come in. She's a solid little racer. Obviously, Jade was there. Andrew was there. Unfortunately, we didn't see Natasha. I think Natasha's focusing on other things at the minute, from what I can gather. So there are people to come in from that side as well. Nikki, obviously. Then you had, I'm not sure why Laura does age group, but Laura Haywood as well. She could easily mix it in with the top guys, girls.
Yeah.
Jesse, obviously.
Well, this roll through your top 10 on male and female then. So Tom's
Hold on. Are you doing top 10 just so you can get me in there? Thanks, mate.
Thought I wouldn't leave you out, mate. So Tom Tweddle took the win. To be fair, pretty dominant. I managed to keep him in eye distance for about half the race, and then he just pulled away.
Yeah. I felt pretty good hanging with him for the first 3 miles. It was like, yeah, this isn't happening.
No. Fair play to him. He came in, obviously, he was second in the series in 2019, the last iteration of the series. He had a really good marathon recently and pretty much showed his dominance on quite a runnable course.
Yeah.
I came in second, looking in and around, probably about 5 minutes down on him.
Yeah,
give or take a few seconds. So, yeah, quite a dominant performance from Tom. Plenty of work from myself and the rest of the field to do to pull that back.
Catch him up, yeah.
Yeah. Scott took third.
Yeah.
Barry Buchanan came in fourth.
Yeah.
Barry actually came in with me to the spear. We almost came in like at the same time, battling for second. Barry missed the spear. I hit the spear. And then Scott came through from fourth position to take third. So fair play to Scott. He's always in and there about.
Yeah, we say this about Scott Barker, don't we? Like, and I don't think he'd mind us saying this. We know he can't hang. Let's take Tom out of it, because not many of us that can hang with Tom. But if you put down to like me and you being probably the second fastest runner in that group, we always know that Scott is never going to keep up with us or be in front of us. But boy, is he always going to be breathing, you know, at least a minute behind, ready to pounce when someone makes a mistake. And he does it every time, and fair play to him. He's got to be in it to win it, you know?
Yeah, he is Mr. Consistent. And you look at a lot of his podiums throughout the year. I think he's in the mid-20s for podiums now, which is crazy. Yep. But he's always in contention. I don't think there's hardly any race where he won't be either third, second, or fourth, or he's there. Fair play to him. So number five, you had Fergal Keane. I've not really
what
seen
a race.
Fergal.
Yeah, so
Fergal, I've not really seen him race much, but
nuclear guy. I think. I had the pleasure of spending a bit of time with him in Tahoe when some of the nuclear guys went out. Not Tahoe, sorry, Tenerife. When some of the, when the guys got there, so we spent a bit of time. Obviously, that's Federica's partner. And she, obviously, we can talk about the girl side in a minute. But she, he's actually surprised me. No offense to him at all. I knew he was a good athlete. I know he does nuclear, but he actually surprised me how quick he was. I would say, if anything, probably just a little bit naive about Spartan, because it was his first one. Maybe he was just a bit too quick on the gun at the start, and that sort of paid towards the end. But to be fair, he finished it off and beat me, so I can't say too much. But he was in there. It was good.
Yeah, no, fair play to
him. I only expect those guys to get better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, well, the whole field will get kind of better over time. So you have Gavin Hogarth. Obviously, we mentioned Gavin as previously won Spartan events.
I think Gavin, I was talking to a friend, a lot of Gavin's going for a lot of the Hyrox thing, isn't he?
Yeah, he did really well at the virtual High Rocks. Like, really well. He got an invite to go over to compete at one of the events in America, but I don't know if he could go due to travel at the time. But, yeah, so we'll definitely see him in Scotland, I'm sure. But yeah, he came down in sixth. Then you had Declan, seventh. Yeah. Really solid run from Declan. You had Darren Martin, who was making the jump up from age group last time out. He took eighth position, so very, very well done from him. Ryan Hodgson took ninth.
Don't know who that Ryan Hodgson is.
I don't know.
I don't recognise him. So if you're out there, Ryan, well done. Fair play.
Solid race from him. And then some kid... Jack Carpenter, 10th. I think he was lost.
A lot of people kept saying to me, because this is hilarious. So we were obviously running quite well. Tom was at front. We all knew there. Then there was you, and then there was me. And then, to be fair, there was quite a big get. Oh, no, Barry Buchanan was there. And me and Barry were battling out backwards and forwards for the first 4 or 5 mile. And he turned to me and he says, come on, Jack, we've got to kick on. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. Let's catch up. And this was you. We could just see you, like, probably, I don't know, 100 meters in front. And Barry's like, come on, Jack, kick on. So I kicked on and he didn't come with me. I was like, oh, thanks. So flew down this hill, caught up to you, came around the corner, twister. Now, I will say the last three years, I haven't failed one obstacle, and I'm quite proud of that. You know, I'm quite proud of the fact that I've never failed an obstacle in 3 years. I had one season where I couldn't do anything, but the last couple of years, not found an obstacle. So I just got on Twister and I do the forward sort of monkey swing. You do the backwards, don't you? Which I'm still need to learn, because I do like the look of it. I just don't know if I like doing it. So I see you go through it. You hit the bell. Luke carries on running. Fair play, right? Get on. Get about to midway of the third rung. So I'm almost home and dry. All I had to do was basically stop being a cocky ass and hit the bell. And as I reached through, I realized I was still about a foot off the bell from hitting it. So I've gone to hit the bell, put all my eggs in one basket, and my backhand, my left hand, has slipped off the rung. Next thing I know, I'm stood on the floor. I'm like, oh, shit. I then took my headband off to go and do burpees, and the volunteer's going, it's a penalty lap! It's a penalty lap! Run! And I'm like, oh, for God's sake. So two burpees down and a penalty lap. Which no one told us, by the way, but then again, we shouldn't be failing. But
we
didn't get told. So we do this penalty lap, and everyone's going to me, so like everyone's running past me going, Jack, you've gone the wrong way. I'm like, no, I'm doing a penalty lap, guys. I screwed up. And with and Scott just looked at me and went, yes, and carried on running. I was like, thanks, mate.
That's demoralizing.
And then, well, the only thing that sort of helped me out was Jason Burgess. I'm sure he won't mind me calling him out. He also did the exact same thing. He slipped off and joined me on the penalty lap. So he, in his northern accent, was saying to me, come on, Jack, we've got to push on. So I'm like, yeah, I know. Fortunately, he got to the sandbag, not sandbag carry, the hoist, and he couldn't move it. And I was used to it, obviously. So I flew it up, but obviously we know what newcomers are like to the hoist. They don't like it, do they? Because they're not used to the weight. But I did manage to crawl back into top 10. I was saved by about six people missing spears, I think, in the last obstacle. So I was saved by that. But pretty gutting, but happy to finish, to be fair, in top 10 after failing.
Yeah, you snuck in the money.
Yeah, I snuck in the money and snuck in the points. I mean,
we will come back and talk about the money and stuff at the end. Just we'll do the females first, then we'll come back to that.
Yeah, because Luke's now a millionaire.
Yeah, no. Female side. I have noticed that on the results, they have Andrea down as American.
Oh, really? Impressive.
Yeah, they've got an American flag by Andrea's name. She is...
I'll take that, Andrew.
British.
I'll take
that. Yes. So, Andrea.
Is she Spanish?
Well, yeah.
The name like that.
She's European-esque.
You're Italian, so.
This is true. So, yeah, Andrea took first position and Nikki Johnson second.
Yeah.
Separated by 11 seconds.
I think that was a burpee off, I think.
They had a burpee off.
Yeah. Was it one on the Z wall? No, one on the Z wall, one on the spear. Yeah.
One on the spear.
Yeah.
See, well, I'm guessing that they were that close. That must have been an amazing race between them the whole way around.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were separated by 10 seconds.
I hate to say it, but Nikki still amazes me. I'm not even sure how that girl, like, Jesus, I'd love to watch a girl's race. This is the problem, right? This is a funny conversation I'm having on Facebook earlier. But this is the problem, because we go off at the same time or within 15 minutes, we don't actually ever get to see any of the girls' battles. No, unless we finish really early and go back out on course to catch them, like coming into the last few minutes. But in general, we don't get to watch the girls. And I'm pretty sure some of those girls have... I know we had a bit of a fun battle this week, but I think generally the girls do better battling, because no offence to the girls, but they tend to fail more obstacles, which makes it obviously more cat and mouse style.
Yeah, I wish there was a video of Andrea and Nikki's battle. Yeah, like,
there probably is somewhere. If you've got one, let me know.
Yeah, let us know. It would be amazing to just see them battle through different obstacles. Then we had Ellen Meekins coming in third. She was in around, about 7.5 minutes back. So you can kind of tell, like, Nikki and Andrea were pretty dominant with their running and through the obstacles for themselves. Even they both did burpees at the end. Ella Meekins, though, so kind of out of nowhere. She's got a bit of a Ninja Warrior background, I believe. I had a little chat with her after she finished, congratulated her.
She trains really down place. Is it OPP?
Obstacle Play Park.
That's it, yeah, with down there. So I think she's pretty tired on the old obstacles. I think she needs to work on her running. Obviously, if she wants to keep up with the girls on the longer distance, I think she's always going to smash the sprints as she did on the Sunday. But I think when it comes to that extra, and like we said, and we'll talk about the course in a minute, but, you know, Saturday was definitely a runnable course. It wasn't really one that struggles for running, that's for sure.
No. Ellen took third. Becky came in fourth.
Yeah.
Only 40 seconds, 30 yeah. seconds, 35
did,
seconds
did Becky
back
get penalty?
I'm not too sure, to be fair. I'm not too sure about that. And then a few minutes back after that was Jade. We found out after that, obviously, Jade wasn't in the best shape. Maybe an illness, some kind of illness had become Jade. And
did she get injured? I think she got injured on course, didn't she? She went to the hospital.
She put a post out on Instagram, and I spoke to her a little bit afterwards, and I know she wasn't feeling 100%, and I think it was a bit of an illness thing that she battled through to actually get there. So she did well to come in the top five then. And then you had Federica in sixth, and you had Georgia Ribitu in seventh.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad either.
Seven girls only on a series event.
Is it eight? Because you missed out Jessie.
Jessie might have come eighth, but she is not on the results.
Why is Jessie not on the results? Maybe it's an issue. But she definitely came eighth, definitely.
Yeah. Jessie was also there, but yeah, she is not on the official Spartan results, so probably need to message Spartan about that one and say
she might be anywhere in that list, but I don't think.
Yeah, she could be a bit closer, or sixth or seventh, but she needs to be on there because she wants to get those points.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, yes, before we talk about anything about the sprint, let's look back at the series event. Like, series race, it's the big event in the UK, pretty much. Spartan have kind of mimicked what they've got in America now. So we've got a payout from first to 10th in a series event. It goes all the way down from £500 all the way down to £20. It's a great step forward for the sport. Jack took £20 home.
I pay for my pizza.
Yeah, true. It is a great step forward for the sport, I think, personally, even to have any money at any level.
Yeah.
If you're going to most trail races, other OCRs, you're very rarely going to get money at any amount as a prize. God forbid, 10th position.
Yeah.
Mainly it's the winner gets some money and that's it.
Or free product, you know, that money's very rare.
I've won cheese before at a trail race.
That's impressive.
And it was nice.
There's a great thing. Right. We want listeners to tell us what's the best thing they've taken home from a trail run.
Yeah.
And I don't want to know anything like chlamydia or anything like that. I mean, the best prize you've taken home from a trail run. That's quite cool.
I won
race.
Some craft beer and a selection of cheeses.
Cheese is quite good. Yeah.
It was really nice, to be fair. I will shout out the cheese was good. But
had socks. I suppose that's normal socks.
Yeah, that's pretty standard. Yeah. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, there's points on offer, and if you're getting in those top 10 positions, you're getting like the more premium style points. Generally, after you hit after 10th, it's just 1 point difference.
Yeah.
Before 10th and all the way up to first, you've got bigger gaps in the top, and then it goes like down, filters down towards like 5 points difference.
But I think we've worked out in the past, you just have to hit a podium. If you hit a podium, you're doing all right, to be fair.
Yeah. It gives you a great shot at doing well, which what everybody wants to do, but also world championship qualification, top 20 in the series, you can qualify for the world championships. Top 10 on the day, you qualify for the European championships. Top 5 on the day, it looks like you can automatically qualify for world championships. That still needs to be confirmed. Still haven't got like a 100% confirmation on that, but information on Spartans help desk says that you can do top 5.
I mean, to be fair, there's not even 20 in a series race. So if you wanted to qualify, just come and do the whole series.
Well, simple. I don't even think, how many guys were
12,
there?
13. Now, I don't know if that's because of the gated thing that Spartan have done this year, or there's a conversation in a minute about women, but it's not just the problem in the women, it's the problem in the men's as well. Yes, the women have got it worse. There was like 7 and then like 6, you know, in the sprint, but the men have got it just as bad.
Oh, discount Jesse, I think there was 23 people.
Right.
So about 23 guys. So you got to think, even like top 20, that look, you've all got points, you've all got opportunity to qualify for the world championships.
Yeah,
in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, even qualifying for such an event is pretty epic. Spartan World Championships, one of the notoriously hardest championship events to qualify for.
Yeah,
you can't just go to a Sunday sprint.
Yeah,
like on Sunday there was less guys in the field, but you can't qualify for it then.
Yeah.
You can't go to other races and qualify. It is literally just the series events alone that are qualifying you.
Yeah.
Yes, this new elite qualification code has probably caught a few people out. They probably haven't really remembered that it happened. But again, that's a great step forward for the sport. I think over time, people from age group their aim will be to get the elite qualification code. And then move up to the elites. I know some people did jump in the elites and they were like, look, I just want to race with the top guys in the UK. I'm probably going to be 15th to 20th, but yeah. It doesn't matter. You just want to race. Like at the end of the day, US series events, just getting on the line with like Ryan Atkins, Ryan Kent and all those guys.
It's a buzz, mate. I tell you, Greece, when we just lined up and I'm like looking in front of me and I've got Woodsy, you've got, you know, Kempton, you've got Newell, you've got Hackett. It's like, this is freaking for real. You know, this is awesome.
When I did it at Tahoe, it's just like, and even the European Championships lining up against like Jeremy Gachet and all the other top European guys. It's like, oh my God, this is pretty epic.
And then they were going, oh shit.
Here we go. You know, there's hills in this race. You're not going to survive the Mont Blanc mountains.
No, definitely not. Two things I will add caveat to that as well is like, obviously, you have to do all four races to be in the series. So if you weren't there Saturday, unfortunately, you've now missed out. You had to be in it to win it. I wonder.
You still can collect points.
You can still collect points, yeah.
So even if you did not do the first race, it is a point system.
Yeah.
So if you do the next three races and you say somebody from Saturday doesn't do another race or collects less points than you overall,
you
can still be up there in the rankings. So don't think, oh, I'm not going to do a race because I can't. If you're in the series to come in the top echelons, yes, you need to do all four races. You're not going to collect enough points otherwise.
And if you mess a race up, you're not going to collect enough points either way. But and then the other thing I was interested about is people talk about that gated thing, and I've heard lots of people saying, well, come on, I'm so-and-so. I've done this race at Nuclear, and I've done this race at Toughest, and I've done this race.
You can apply.
You can apply, but like, let's be fair. Spartan made John Albon go run a sprint, a super and a beast. So he went to the Ultra Championships. It isn't just picking on little old you and me and so many other people. You know, made the best in the world go prove himself, because rules are rules. You can't have one rule for one and one rule for another. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it is what it is. Unfortunately, if you want to be racing with the best in the UK, you have to, you compete that, you have to qualify for that. You know,
we've got to think of it a bit more in terms of this area of Spartan. You've got to think of it as a bit more of a professional entity, where you're looking at, like, they're trying to emulate like an Ironman pro card style entry system, or a triathlon pro card, which is what it may go to in the future, more towards that style. But that's only good for the sport. Like, people are going to want to do very well to get to even just get in to race, let alone get in and get on a podium kind of thing. So I think personally it's good. I'm hoping more people will be encouraged. You can find out how to get your elite qualification code in the Spartan Zendesk. There is information on there of how you can do it. If you've done a age group races, there's information of maybe you've done enough races, maybe you've podiumed, maybe that's enough to get your entry for the next event. It's worth looking at. It's worth doing. If you've got any questions, let us know. Maybe we'll be able to help you out. Drop us a message, or on our personal Instagrams, or on the multi-sport media one. But yeah, more people we can encourage from the guys and the girls side. More girls in the elite field would be amazing.
And this is a question that I noticed Scotty put out on Facebook yesterday, was like, why so many girls don't step up? And the biggest thing was they're just scared of coming last. But like someone said, you're not last. You know, like, just because you've come last in the elite wave, that's not last. There's still age groupers coming slower than you. There's still open waivers out there doing it for fun. You know, I think there's a thing, that this whole stigma of being embarrassed or going, oh, you come in last, blah, ha, ha, ha. You know, like, I don't get that. I thought, I mean, that needs to change. Somehow we need to change that, because...
Well, I think over time, especially the series events, it will be, the whole thing should be more that you've made it into like the top 10.
Yeah.
Like that, instead of like, right, your podium spots, is going to become a thing that people really want to make the top 10 because of the money. In America, obviously you get more money for the top 10 positions. In the UK, it would be good to, because there's two places in the female division that had money that no one even got. You could just have signed up and got in the top 10.
Walked round. Yeah.
Yeah. We do not encourage that.
We do not. But you could have done. I'm just pointing out.
You could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as a sport, it's only better to have more people. Like, I did a whole year, 2017. I kind of cut my teeth in elite. I came fourth plenty of times. I came 10th, 7th. I think I had a 6th. And I came 3rd once.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only hit one podium all year, and I travelled to Scotland. I travelled to all the events in the UK. I was coming 4th, 7th. I came 10th at a beast.
4th is the new first, by the way. Just putting it out.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I spent a whole year cutting my teeth, and I came in and around not what I really hoped. I kind of hoped to obviously be a little bit higher up. But yeah, I think sometimes you've got to kind of cut your teeth. You've got to learn how to race. Spartan is a very, for what it seems, it is quite a tactical race. And you do see guys with the most experience of racing Spartan do quite well.
Yeah.
Like Scott, major experience in Spartan. That is why he puts himself in a position to be successful at every race.
Yeah.
He will always be in and around that top 5, top 3, because he's got massive experience. Tom Tweddle, he's raised plenty of Spartans. Another he knows one. What he needs to do.
Yeah.
We've raised plenty, got experience at international events, Europeans, World Championships. So when they put the beta in, I've done beta before. I know how to do beta.
Yeah.
When they put the multi-rig in, I've done a multi-rig before at Spartan. I know exactly what that pipe does.
Also, so, you've got the box to come in, which we've done in international events, which are going to catch a lot of people out. Ape Hanger, which we've done many times, which is also going to catch a lot of people out.
I think when Ape Hanger comes in, you're going to have Ape Hanger, Twister, Beta, Multi-Rig, Monkey Bars.
Yeah.
And the Monkey Bars at that event will be a beast. They will make them up and down.
Yeah.
So you're going to have 5 to 6 upper body things. If you don't have the grip strength, that is going to tear the field apart if anybody is, if you're a bit weaker on that one.
And then throw a spear in there as well, or two maybe. They like 2 spears in Edinburgh.
They love a nice double spear.
So before we move on to news about Edinburgh and blah, 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 what did you think of the course in general, Luke? Did you like the course? I mean, personally, I thought it was a very running course at some points, especially on the Saturday at the Super. I'm going, is this an obstacle course race or is this a race, run race? Because at the minute, I'm running bloody miles and all I can see is Luke's ass.
Well, at least you had a good day. No, I actually enjoyed the event. I can see exactly what they did. So they made the sprint as the course for the sprint, which was the Sunday one. And then they added the super on.
Yeah.
So they've made the double sprint in the two fields. And then they've added the super loop on with the extra obstacles to make the bigger distance. And yes, there was a lot of running at the back end. Suited me. I enjoyed doing a lot of running. I thought it was good. It wasn't all just easy running, though. It was a lot of through bush and up hills and stuff, which slowed.
I forgot how hilly that place was. I mean, I don't know if they just utilized more hills this year or, you know, previously.
They picked a different style of course.
Jesus.
Because normally we go through the back end field and it's quite flat.
Yeah.
So I remember the last few years we've ran up the field into like more of a farmed field and it is very flat and then you run through the corn area and we didn't do that this year, so
maybe it's off, maybe they're farming it or something, you just don't know, do you?
But no, I thought overall the course was good, challenging. I really like that they mixed the obstacles up. We had new obstacles. They made the rig a multi-rig.
Woohoo! It's only taken about 10 years.
Yeah, but it happened. We got there in the end. Enjoyable. And they've already released an email for next year. And a beast is in there next year. Yeah. So it's a trifecta weekend.
Yeah, which would be interesting. I'm surprised they've not done it before. But they can easily fit a 13-miler in there. Well, 20-miler if it's spot. But I reckon they could fit that in easy in that course.
Yeah, no. I think definitely they've got the space. There's plenty of fields. I'm sure they can move into another field if they can acquire one from another farmer.
100%. And then, so obviously we lightly touched on it, but the sprint on the Sunday, obviously Luke did quite well. I decided to take the field out, took me and Mo with him, and it was basically me, Mo and Luke battling out for 1, 2, 3 for most of the way. Luke got a bit of a lead in. I think you took Mo for a bit of a run, didn't you? I remember turning to Scott saying, if Mo keeps up with Luke, he's gonna be burnt out if he's not careful. And that obviously, Mo's inexperience of running Spartan races tended to happen. Every obstacle turned up, he was slowly creeping back and I was catching him up. And then final obstacle, I thought, right, I'm gonna go for the unleash pain here. Got up that slip wall and I literally threw myself for that slip wall. Mo was on it like a Bambi on ice. He was like, his legs were going, and I could see that the bottom of the rope was muddy, the board was muddy, obviously we're filthy. I put my hands in that water to try and get out that mud slop. And I had the inkling to, one, I don't know if you noticed, but on the left hand side, the second rope in, where they tied the rope to the top, they'd left a loop.
So I was
like, if I can get hold of that loop, then that will leave me to pull me up. But I just need to get hold of the dry part of the rope. And of course, Mo's at the bottom of the rope, slipping. So I jumped up and grabbed and literally pulled myself up, like a sloth on the wall. And then I was able to wrap my leg around and I went. And that's how I got my couple of meters, ahead of him. And I was like, right, now I'm just going to take it. And I went into that at the stone carry, lifted that, went round. I think you were just going out the Atlas as I was coming in. Yeah. So we were always that 10-15 seconds behind.
I was about an obstacle difference, I think.
Flew around the corner. Obviously, Jack the twat thinking, yes, fucking podium, boom, second. This is going to be awesome. Get on the block wall. Next thing I know, my feet are on the floor. My hands are still on the blocks. I'm like, What the bloody hell is going on?
We're not going to go into how you managed to.
I don't even know. I mean, I've got loads of excuses, and I think there's a good reason for one is my shoe wear, but that's not an excuse. I know I shouldn't be failing block wall, but I've just
those duck feet you've
duck
got.
Feet is a duck feet. Again, just I don't even know. I can't even explain, but that allowed Mo to come through as I'm doing burpees.
Well, I'll tell you what, you won't fail block wall again this year.
I won't fail, but I'll tell you what, no way. I've funny enough, today I was looking at my block wall, I'm thinking, right, I'm going to get a shitload of mud, I'm going to get a load of water, and I'm going to freaking just spray it down and just get used to that. I don't know if that was the problem, I just think I was going too cocky. Anyway, I'm doing my burpees, I look up, Mo throws a spear and misses, and I'm thinking, actually, I've still got a bloody shot of this. Start throwing out my burpees stupidly quick. As I see Scott come around the corner, I'm like, oh no. Scott gets through block wall. I'm on about 25, I think, at this point. I'm thinking, come on, miss. Please miss. Please miss. Please miss. He gets it in, goes through, takes second. And I'm like, right, five more. Come on. I've got this. As I leave my area, I nail my spear perfect. Mo leaves the fucking penalty area at the same time, and he's always got that probably shoulder width ahead of me. He gets over the wall first, and that's it. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, seriously. But like I said to you before, like, I'd be more annoyed if I was in 10th and I was well off the pace. At the end of the day, I was in second. I was ahead. Me and Mo and you had a good minute on the field, you know, good minute and a half maybe, you know. It's just one of those, isn't it? And you learn from your mistakes. And like I say to my clients, you've got to have failures. You've got to have mistakes because that makes you stronger. Oh, yeah. You know,
last year I missed the spear on this. No, 2019, I missed the spear on this course.
Yeah.
Missed out on the podium, missed out on the series podium.
Yeah.
So yeah, it happens to a lot of people. But shout out to Morgan Maxwell for taking third on the day. Yeah. I think that's his first Spartan Race podium. Yeah, so big shout out to him.
First thing.
He raced really well. So
I think he came up from age group as well, didn't he?
I think so. But yeah, he raced really well. And I think, he's one to watch, especially over sprints.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit more his distance.
Yeah.
He's very efficient on obstacles, which
very
I'm
good on
sure
obstacles.
That it's because he trains a lot at, where's he train? Rumble?
Rumble, yeah. Just can't throw a spear for shit. He's like a mini Luke in the field.
But I've watched back, a few people sent me a little few videos of him and me at the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to steal one of his moves on an obstacle that I didn't think about.
Which was this?
On the vertical cargo net.
Yeah.
So he just ran and jumped halfway up.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why didn't I think of that?
And you go feet first.
No, I just started climbing it like a ladder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So normally I just get up to it, start climbing it like a ladder and think, oh yeah, I'm good. We got over it the same amount of time only because I saw him next to me. And as I saw him, I was like, he's getting up quite quick.
Yeah.
So I threw myself halfway down the back end side so I would have a lead. And I just managed to hold on. But yeah, he jumped halfway up the thing and then started climbing. I was like, well,
he's quite he is quite strong as well. He like,
he moved the hoist,
but funny enough, on the what I loved caught everyone out actually was on the Saturday of the super, that sled drag. I cleverly, again, another bit of experience, a bit of a nugget, golden nugget for everyone. I used the sled that you had literally come off. So I waited for you to finish like 3 or 4
you know
seconds.
It moved.
Because to be fair, I knew that if Luke had just moved that, and bear in mind, the only other person that had come through that would have been Tom. So that you know, as brand new sled, brand new grass, not been pulled, and this brings me on to another story in a minute. You know, so I knew that because everyone else was struggling, because obviously you were on it, no one else you used yours. I waited for you to finish, used yours because I knew it would fly, and I literally beat everyone out of there by about 20 seconds purely because I picked the one that I knew would move. Same with the bag, the hoist. You know, you always want to pick the one that someone's just come off or you know that's worked because
you know it works.
The worst thing that happens, like you know, you get there, you get halfway, it's a freaking knot or the pulley doesn't quite work. That's a nightmare. Something
really
that I'm just going to pick up on as well. So there's this whole thing about making elites go, I think it was a joke, but making elites go at the end of the day just because we get all the hard. But what they don't realize is we break. In the winter, we break all the ice in the cold pot puddles for them. We trample down all the nettles with our shins for them.
Oh, my
legs.
unreal.
And like, actually, anyone trying to do the bloody bag sled pull when it's brand new grass, good luck with that. Because I tell you what, they never put it in the nice smooth grass. They always put it in the 20-inch
in the long grass. When I was leaving, literally, I left and everybody, I just pulled to the end, and I think Jason Burgess from Munster Court got there, and a few other people.
He couldn't even move it.
No, he tried to pull and it wouldn't move.
Yeah, it wouldn't even move.
I was like, okay, I'm going to run away because they're going to take quite a while here.
Yeah.
So that's why I put a bit of a pace in, because it was flat after then as well.
But I lost Jason Burgess at the hoist because he went upwards. He literally climbed the rope trying to get it down.
So on the female side, on the sprint, Ella Meekins took the win on that day, backing up her form from the day before of a third place.
She reminds me of Jade. She's a very similar athlete to Jade, isn't she? Short, strong, powerful.
I saw her from behind and she had orange Innovates on, and I was like, is that Jade? And then I was like, oh no, different colour hair. Becky Neal took second, again backing up her form from the day before.
Yeah.
And Jessie Montagu took third. Jessie from the pro team.
I know
she had a
bad day on the Saturday, so to come back strong on the Sunday, that's phenomenal for her.
Yeah, and to be fair, look, she was 23 seconds off second place, so she was strong. Becky would have been extremely strong in that race. Becky was only 30 seconds off the win. So Jesse in and around about a minute down on the win. So very, very strong. Federica came fourth. Louise Crozer fifth. And Georgina took sixth. So, yeah, it was a very, very strong kind of little field there. Not many girls again in that wave, but a strong kind of top end finish to it.
Yeah.
Before we divert on to the next thing.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to highlight is they had also the first Spartan Trail event that happened in the UK.
I do, because we were so bothered about racing, I completely even forgot that was going on.
So I really, really wanted to race one of those trail events, and I almost went straight from the sprint into the trail, but I missed the start.
How long did you miss it by? Minutes.
Only by a few minutes, but mainly because Spartan Phil took too long to do his talk. So I'm a little upset with you, Phil. But
that would have been quite cool. Literally finish, run round, straight back into the gate and go again.
I'm going to try it. One of the events I'm going to try. But it does bring us on to a nice segue into the Spartan Trail world before we move on to more OCR-based things. So there is an event in Sweden, I'm going to butcher this, but the Fylgemaraton. There's a marathon in Sweden. A trail marathon that is part of
the... Hold on. Sorry, where is it?
Fylgemaraton? Marathon? Fylgemaraton. Oh, I don't know. Something.
Fylgemaraton.
So Spartan Trail World Championships. The next stop, I believe, is Sweden.
Yep.
Now, John Albin has said he is racing this event. Is his first event back. Killian Jornet has just announced that he is racing.
Oh, is he? Oh, brilliant.
We may see
trouble ahead.
Two champions collide.
Yeah.
Over a distance.
So when is this, sorry?
So it is not.
And where can we watch it?
I don't know if we can watch
what?
It. I'm sure.
Come on. Please, can these companies please sort out media? Honestly, like bringing it back, right? So who were we talking about? I can't remember. I was talking in wherever we were talking after the session. Like Spartan want to know a way of getting more people in their waves. I'm telling you now, you have to record these races. It doesn't even have to go out live. Don't even bother about live. Do what Spartan do in America. Record some clips. Mash them together, even very basically, and put them on YouTube 1 hour, 2 hours after the race. People will lap that up. People will share it. People will like it. And it's going to draw more people in to wanting to race. Because if you can show the race, people will race.
So just to update on I believe the 45K and the 100K events are part of the Spartan Trail.
And which one's John and Killian doing?
I don't know what they're doing. They've both said they're racing at the event, but I'm guessing they're probably going to do the marathon 45K event one. So they're both on the 7th of August, though.
Hold on a minute. I'm just texting John.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, look, John, would you like to come on and chat about your event?
So Spartan Trail World Champs Instagram announced that Killian is interested in the summer calendar, including the Fildra Marathon and also another one of the events, which is an ultra in, I believe, Argentina, somewhere in Argentina. So it looks like he is going to race two of the events. And I know John is racing this event in Sweden, and then I believe another event somewhere in Europe as well. But it would be great to see them raced head to head. We're looking forward to it immensely.
Definitely.
But yeah, so that was my little bit of
cool. Well, I've texted him, so with a bit of luck, he'll get back to me, and we'll arrange a podcast.
We'll arrange him to get on before his race.
Talking events as well. So we obviously had the news. We sort of coming with Edinburgh home. Mm-hmm. Is it home? Where it was? I can't think what it's called. Someone will correct me. But wherever it was in Edinburgh has now been moved to further across to Scotland. On the other coast in Dumfriesshire and Galloway, into a little place that I know quite well because my father lived there for 20 years. So a lovely area. It's actually Duke of Buccleuch who owns quite a lot of Scotland, would you believe? But it's where they do Tough Mudder, or previously have done Tough Mudder in the past, in the Drumlanrig Castle, and it's beautiful grounds. So they've moved Spartans. Exact same week, exact same races. The series is the super. Is the sprint. There's a beast. I think there's an ultra there as well. Yes. It's not ridiculously hilly. It's not like Highland. So don't worry too much, guys. It's not. I mean, they do have some hills, obviously, at Scotland, but it's not. We're not talking like Glencoe, Glenshee. You know, we're talking more like long, steady hills rather than sharp, horrible.
I've been told the terrain is much like Windsor.
Yeah. Windsor, original Windsor. Not new.
The Windsor Great Park.
Yeah, Great Park. It's more like that. It's a stately home. It's basically a mountain bike route as well. So there's a red route, black route, and red route, blue route. And if they use any of those mountain bike routes, there's going to be a lot of single track, lots of woods, lots of twisty turnies. There's a massive NIF that runs right through the middle, which is a massive river. So they can utilize that as well, which would be epic.
I'm sure they will in the ultra.
There's lots of sheep, so we could probably utilize the sheep. You know,
try not to utilize those.
There will be some runnable parts because there's like a track that runs all the way around the outside, so there will be some fast parts as well. But yeah, it's a beautiful venue. What I will say though is if you are going, get your accommodation in quick because there's not a lot around. It's very desolate out there. It's very isolated, very quiet, only small villages. There won't be a lot around for travel, that's for sure, for traveling and accommodation.
We're excited all to head up there. I think most people that did the series will be making the trip up there to race the sprint.
Yeah,
I'm really intrigued to see what happens in the ultra. I'm a little bit gutted that we can't do the ultra. I know a lot of people kind of fancied that, and definitely one year I'm going to do the ultra.
It's annoying that they. I tell you what, as well, they're never going to get top end guys at the ultra if they do it the same weekend as the series. Like, I know obviously they wanted four series races this year, but it would have been kind of nice, even if they'd done the ultra starting Friday and then the series race Sunday to give us all a day's rest. I mean, I think some of us might, I mean, like me, I've screwed up my first series now. I came 10th for God's sake. I'd have to finish podium at every series race now to think about even contending with you and Tom. I could do the ultra. I am thinking, could I do an ultra? Then, like Scott says, go home, sleep, and then do the sprint the next day. Silliness, madness. But, you know, unfortunately, the ultras never fall right. Never fall right for us because there's always a series race that weekend.
So yeah,
please, Spartan, please, can you put an ultra on a different day so we can do it?
Well, the previous year, they obviously made Scotland wasn't a series thing in 2019. So it could have happened then, but travel and stuff was an issue. But hopefully 2022 might be able to do the ultra.
Yeah.
But so what else are we? Other little news. Obviously, this weekend is the next race in the US National Series. It looks like VJ will be back to race that one after taking a little bit of a hiatus from the
you like that word today, don't you?
Yeah. Well, been reading my toilet paper. But yes, so Hawk Cool, he probably will be there after such a great showing. Ryan Schleck,
yep.
The guy that came
third,
I believe he has broken something in his foot.
Really?
I've seen a report that he injured something in his foot, his heel bone maybe. I'm not sure how true that is, but it sounds like he is not going to be there and may not be there for the rest of the year. If you haven't noticed already, there is information out there as well about Spartan Cross League. We will give a shout out to the OCR report for bringing this information to us. Coming in 2022, the Spartan Cross League. We've heard about Spartan Cross, short course version of Spartan Race. Very short, very fast, mini lapped course, super fast obstacles, going to be a spectacle. You may have seen it in Spartan Games. You may have seen it at the Jacksonville event. We spoke to Logan Broadbent about it after he won that event. So information that OCR report, thank you guys for bringing this to us. It looks like the format will be a four-person team, two men, two females, 3K course distance.
Hold the phone.
Shh, let me finish. Season long.
Out your door.
Team is chosen by draft. More, it's very American draft style.
So do we have to buy people? This is cool.
So it is a team versus team affair, and it's all year long. There is more information on the UK, and the OCR report Instagram. They also, I will shout them out, they did a podcast with Dave Watson, who alludes to a bit more about what it is. It does sound like it's just starting, but it seems like that is the way they want to go at Spartan. They really want to bring this cross thing
to
the fore.
Let's hope that hits the UK.
Please bring it to the UK, Spartan. Dave Watson, we will be dropping you an Instagram message because we want it in the UK.
Yeah, we definitely want it in the UK. Definitely.
But yeah, so that's kind of wrapping up the thing. What's next from myself and Jack?
Tough Mudder!
We are next at a Tough Mudder event. Whoop, whoop. We're going.
Any Tough Mudder event. We are the one to be. Oh, the big Vegas. One. We're the one to be.
The second big one. We are going to go to Europe's Toughest Mudder. We will be taking on the team event. We're going in for the two-person team. We're going to be doing a lot of filming. We're going to be doing a little bit of content while we're there. We're going to try and create something. We don't know fully what it is yet, but we're going to create something fun, interesting for people to watch, and hopefully have a good race.
Definitely. Interesting going from a super and a sprint to a 12-hour event, but it'll be good fun. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
This is it. So,
I haven't done a Tough Mudder since like 2015 either, so I think that the obstacles have changed an awful lot since I last did a Tough Mudder.
Please don't fail any.
I mean, I'm not even going to say that. I haven't got Blood Wolf, it's fine.
Yes, you're good. There's no twist to that.
There's no twist to Blood Wolf, fine.
Oh, yay.
And on that note.
Right. Thanks for joining us again, guys. Sorry, it's been such a long hiatus. We're sure
here he goes again. Hiatus three times.
We're sure to bring you more episodes very soon.
Yeah. When Luke stopped cutting his teeth.
Pretty much.
Take care, guys.